a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
To speak, so if there's 30 people on that list and we have 60 minutes, that's 2 minutes apiece. It's going to be a busy day, and we'll operate that way. So if you want to testify, make sure you get your name on that list, and then we'll grab that and bring that forward. With that, we will bring the redistricting committee back to order, and the secretary call the roll. You can't bilocate yet?
Representative Bolin?
Here.
Representative Fargin? Representative Gosh?
Here.
Representative Junkie? Representative Kirkaby?
Here.
Representative Lest?
Here.
Representative Wismer?
Here.
Senator Bradford?
Here.
Senator Brown?
Here.
Senator Cutler?
Here.
Senator Peters?
Here.
Senator Roden?
Here.
Senator Schleckway?
Here.
Senator Olson?
Here.
Representative Rausch?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Did everybody get a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting?
Move to approve.
Second.
We have motion to approve. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Again, I want to thank everybody for coming. It's been quite a process we've gone through the last summer, starting in March was our first meeting when we organized. So what's the number? We have 23 on the list that would like to come forward today. So divided by 60, that's just shy of 3 minutes apiece. We will try to watch a clock. We do have other business to do. At this meeting today, unfortunately, we will not take up amendments. We want you to talk about them, to maybe show us what they are in your 2.5 to 3 minutes. But the bill has already been drafted. The bill is on the floor, and because of that, the logistics of all of that, the amendments will be proposed on the House floor or the Senate floor, and that discussion will continue there. So today, the purpose is informational and presentations. And with that, Co-Chair, you have any further comments?
I'd just like to add, part of the reason that we're meeting one more time is to fulfill the need to let people comment on changes that were made to our map after our September 27th meeting when we had our last committee of the whole or joint committee meeting. The reason we're not meeting as a committee of the whole, we feel that somebody getting up in front of the entire legislature and having to speak to 105 people in the House chambers may be a bit intimidating, and we think that this is a little more less laid back or less intimidating, and we hope that it's an opportunity for you to speak to 15 people versus 105. So we welcome your comments.
With that, we will, in no particular order, we will open it up for public testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the redistricting committee, Frank Klocek, Scotland, South Dakota, District 19. You have before you a proposal to change District 19 to make it whole and to make all the surrounding counties whole. Representative Van Gerpen and myself will be working with you and others to propose that. We also have before you a resolution signed by the City of Scotland, Tabor, Tyndall, Springfield, Avon, the mayors of three of those towns, and the councils of two of those towns and their mayors and the county commissioners unanimously adopted resolutions of support in keeping Bonham County whole. We also will submit about 600 signatures on petitions for keeping Bonham County whole. And we do have a delegation here today from Bonham County, and I ask that they rise at this time.
Clutter? Or from that area?
Anyway, there is a substantial number of people here. We are going to limit our testimony to three of those constituents to keep the time frame going. I do think that it's the right thing to do to follow a plan to keep the counties whole, to avoid a lot of the duplication. We would like to yield a majority of our time to Tamara Brunken, if you could give her the opportunity to take some of the time that Representative Van Gerpen and I would take. She is the county auditor and has some excellent points. This is cuts across boundaries, cuts across party lines. Bipartisan effort to try to make our county back to one county for the good of our government. There's also a letter from Bill Sharma, manufacturer. There's also numerous other letters and regions of support. We do have the mayor of Springfield here, a councilwoman from Avon as well. And with that, I turn it over to Representative Van Gerpen. But we ask that you, when it comes to the floor, witness the testimony that you heard today and pass it on to your colleagues in the respective caucuses. Thank you very much. And we would like to save some time for any rebuttal that would happen at the end. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Van Gerpen.
Yeah, Chairman Roush and Chairman Olson, honorable members of the committee. I want to thank each of you for the effort you put forth through this whole ordeal to try and please everybody, and I know that's a difficult task. We in Bonham County are concerned about the splitting of our county, and there are certainly some negative things that happen. And we feel that we have a plan that would work to change the status of three other counties in the state, specifically Gerald County and Aurora County are presently with Davison County, and if we move them down into District 21, the numbers would match, and then, of course, Davison County would be short, but if we would move Hanson County over into Davison County, those numbers would be okay, and then take the numbers that have come out of Bonham County, that would take care of Hanson County. So it seems like a pretty decent solution, and we would ask that you look at it at least to see if that's something that would be workable. We are somewhat flexible, of course, that if there another plan comes forward that accomplishes the same goal we have of not dividing Bonham County, I'm certain we would be warm to that also. So with that, we'll the ball's in your court, and we just ask you to consider it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And again, as you testify, as the presenters have, make sure that you introduce yourself for our records.
Good morning, members of the Legislative Redistricting Committee. My name is Tamara Brunken. I'm here representing myself. I am the auditor of Bonham County in Tyndall, South Dakota, and I have been asked to talk to you on behalf of me on the proposed Legislative Redistricting Committee. I would like to point out a couple of items that to me in particular are items that should be considered in the split. I've lived in Bonham County for 35 years, specifically Springfield, which is part of the area that would be put into the new district. I have had tremendous, my representatives have been tremendous as far as keeping in contact with me and the people of Springfield and also the people of Bonham County. They are always coming into my office asking what needs to be done, if there's any issues, if anybody has brought anything before them. And, you know, I just cannot say enough good stuff about that. Part of that is because of the way our district is currently set with our legislators being in our area. I have included a handout to you with some statistics and things, if you would like to look at it, some things that I think make us stand out different from the counties that have been included in the District 21. As an example, harvested cropland as percentage of land in farms, Bonham County has 71.26%, and it goes down the line the farther west you go. Tripp County is 32.61%. As you look through the amount of corn harvested, the amount of wheat harvested, and the amount of soybeans harvested, there's definitely a difference in the type of agriculture that is done in those areas. So as you can see, even though we're all agriculture counties, we have some big differences when it comes to farming. I feel that these are some very, they would have different issues that would be brought before the legislature, and I feel that Bonham County would fare better with counties to the north or east of us that have more comparable agriculture processes. I personally live in the section that would be attached to the new district, and I wonder that if our representation would change, and would be and a representative from would be from the western edge of our district if they would show the interest and ask the questions that they do now. This is also the same concern that I have as an auditor. And lastly, probably the most the area that will affect me the most is county auditor. As you all know, the county auditor is in charge of elections. And South Dakota, we have a great record for accuracy in elections, but we must always be aware of integrity of our election process. With the split, there would be a possibility of 5 to 6 different ballot styles in a primary and general election, as compared to two or three styles now. The split would increase the cost of our election in our county. And as many of you know, county budgets are spread very thin right now, and any extra expenses are difficult to absorb. It would also require more training of our election officials and possibly become a problem for me to find qualified poll workers. The majority of my poll workers are over the age of 65, and more stress that we put on them increases the possibilities that they'll just say, no thanks, I don't want to do this for you anymore. It's hard to find poll workers in this day of age when most people work outside the home and they can't get time off for an election. Even with outstanding poll workers, the more different kinds of ballots that are available increase the chance of human error to play into the picture. I've been an auditor for 3 years now. I've ran 2 elections, and they have run very smoothly. I'm very proud of my workers and my staff as to how smooth the election runs. I would hate to risk compromising the integrity of all the ramifications that could arise. Once again, I'd like to thank you for your time, for listening to my testimony, and I hope you will consider keeping Bonham County as one legislative district.
Thank you. So, and again, a reminder of the time constraints. We'll, yes, if you would, please introduce yourselves and thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jill Grogan. I am here representing the City of Avon for the City Council, interested community members, and also the Chamber of Commerce. It gives me great pleasure to present the petitions which you see before you that have been signed by citizens who support Bonham County's legislative borders remaining in place across existing county lines. We're aware that the redrawing of districts is a result of the census. However, concerns have arisen regarding voting issues, equal representation of Democrats and Republicans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We elected our legislatures. They represent our district very well, and with all due respect, we'd like to keep it that way. So please leave Bonham County intact. Avon and Springfield belong there. Thank you, gentlemen.
Chairman Rouse, Chairman Olson, my name is Steve Green. I'm a resident and a community member of Springfield. I've worked at as an executive level in 2 business interests there. I've also served the last 12 years as an executive board member of the Chamber of Commerce. I came here prepared to testify, but I'm going to, due to the time constraints, I'm going to step away at this time. Bill Van Gerpen's here. Bill Van Gerpen's going to probably discuss some of the exact same points I am, so he's much more eloquent than I am too.
We'll decide that. Next, please. Don't be shy. Can be any of the districts. I know that Bonham County has started, but we only have so much time, so just if the seat's open, make sure that you're in it. Welcome back.
My name is Bill Van Gerpen, and I'm here to speak against the proposed plan as it now exists. And I trust that I can bring before you what I consider to be one of my most critical concerns about the redistrict plan as it now appears before you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, if I were a state employee and I worked at the South Dakota State Penitentiary in Sioux Falls, and I had a concern, all I would have to do is walk down the street to contact my legislative delegation. If I were at the trustee unit in Yankton and I had a concern as a state employee, I would probably just be able to walk down the street and talk to my delegation. if I were in Rapid City and I had worked at the trustee unit in Rapid City as a state employee and I had a concern, I could probably walk down the street and speak to my legislative delegation. But as a state employee at the Mike Durfee State Prison, as the plan you have before you presents, it's conceivable I would have to drive over 100 miles to register my concern as a state employee in a Department of Corrections institution. Ladies and gentlemen, I have worked for 5-6 years at the Mike Durfee State Prison. Those individuals have concerns. And one of the channels of communication they have to issue those concerns is through their legislative representation. And I think it's just incredibly important that they have access readily to their delegation who comes here to Pierre to represent their district. I was astounded to learn that of the employees at the Mike Durfee State Prison, nearly 60% reside in Bonham County. And I think it's just unfair that we split that county, particularly for those who are our public servants at that state institution. Most of those clientele that they work with are someday going to become our neighbors. They're the ones that are going to live with nearby our children. And it's incredibly important that we have staff who have prepared those inmates who will someday be released to leave that institution with an attitude to go out and help someone and not hurt someone. And that attitude will be incredibly affected and impacted by the state employees there at that prison. Don't those state employees deserve ready access to legislative representation? It is unfair that they could conceivably have to drive over 100 miles to contact their state representative or their state senator. I encourage the committee to reconsider the line that separates Bonham County. You have a separation of culture, ranching, and farming. Great people on both sides, but they're somewhat different interests. And therefore, I encourage you to pull the line and keep Bonham County whole. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you. Senator Putnam, welcome.
Good morning, Chair Roush and Chair Olson. Senator Jim Putnam from Armour. I'm also the state senator from the district that you are now looking at changing. I should make a few opening remarks just briefly and say that I'm glad I'm not on your committee, just like you're glad you're not on appropriations. A lot of times you have to draw lines and you have to make decisions. But today, rather than just coming and criticizing you for the decisions you've made, which everybody probably could do, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give you a little critique, if I may. You put together a lot of your meetings, and you had a lot of input on drawing the lines that we're now looking at today. Since then, citizens and legislators have had an opportunity to see what you've done, and we're here today, thankfully, that you've allowed this meeting to happen, so that we can ask you to reconsider some situations. Now, you and I know that when people come with bills to the House of Representatives and the Senate, rather than being critical, what's the solution? Our district thinks that the solution to helping you make those lines credible as well as workable and to answer all of the questions and concerns you've heard here earlier today would be to allow Bonham County to be whole again, which solves a lot of the problems. So we do offer you a solution. And that solution, even though it moves throughout some of the other districts, keeps in contact what you want to do. And that means keeping as many counties as you want whole without changing the deviation of the voting public. And I think the Van Gerpen-Klocek amendment, which we're talking about here today that we're going to bring on the House floor, does that. So it does allow you to look carefully at what we've proposed to solve a problem that we perceive and others are perceiving as a situation. Now, the evidence or the testimony you've heard earlier is right on mark. You have auditors considering costs. You have citizens considering different cultures, etc. And you and I know that in your previous meetings, if there were any cultural issues, you took care of them as quickly as possible and under the federal rules and under our state rules. So we're just saying to you, here is an opportunity for you folks looking at the map that you drew on your last day and reconsidering the drawing of that map and keeping Bonham County, Douglas County, Hutchinson County, and some of the other counties whole. And that will give us the opportunity to represent every person, just like you're saying you want to do. Every person in this state is going to be represented on your system. So I thank you for your time, and please keep that in consideration when we go to the floors. You House members are going to listen very carefully to that. The Senate members will do the same thing. We believe we have a solution to what we see as a problem with some of the lines you've drawn. Hope you'll accept that. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we now have been distributed finally 1001BA, the legal form, and a kind of a somewhat of a photocopy, just so the audience knows and those that have driven in know that there is other people working on this making Bonham whole issue. Trying to address it. We're not probably going to fix it at all. I have had another one. If somebody can distribute those to the committee, Dave or Ruben, and to some to the audience, I have 1001BC, which is another alternative, trying to make Bonham whole, and it's not near as offensive as the Klochek amendment that takes Girald and Aurora clear down to Tripp County. That there's no commonality. I mean, we're hearing from a small portion of Western Bonham that they have no commonalities with it, but I think they have more so than Girald and Aurora counties. What 1001BC does, as they're being distributed, is makes Bonham whole and takes Douglas and a precinct out of Brule, splits Brule County, one precinct out just north of Charles Mix County, and attaches them with Gregory and Tripp counties, Mr. Chairman. And this is one we've had before us in some form, not before the committee, but we had been discussing this throughout the summer. And I think there's it's right that other proposals are floated before the committee and before those that have driven in. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further testifiers? Please step forward. Mr. Cadis, good to see you.
Members of the committee, I'm Tom Cadis, former state senator, District 32, and representing myself and also the South Dakota Citizens Commission on Redistricting. And with me is also Kurt Pokart. He can introduce himself as he makes his remarks. I was challenged by one of the reporters from the Rapid City Journal as to why I was concerned about North Rapid Lakota Homes. After all, I don't live in that district. I have a nice home on Skyline Drive, and he was pushing me, you know, why are you even concerned about this? Well, I'm concerned for a couple of reasons. One, the basic one is fairness. For years, the North Rapid Lakota Homes communities have been gerrymandered across three districts. They are contiguous neighborhoods. They relate to each other. And I went back with the reporter and I said, look, I grew up on Standing Rock on a settler reservation, McIntosh, little town. And I grew up with...
I could ask that the crowd, as you're moving around, if you would please mind that the noise that you do make is interfering with the testimony. So I appreciate that people have to come and go, but if you would give the courtesy that they just gave the other presenters, I would appreciate it. Sorry for the interruption, Mr. Cadis.
Thank you. I do have some maps to be distributed. Oh, okay. And Kurt will post it up. Bottom line, we had three different input hearings. 13th of July started out, West River, and I presented an original map at that time with a contiguous North Rapid district for the consideration of the committee. And I was told at the time, well, we haven't even determined the conservation areas yet, but we'll take it. I hand-delivered that map to every one of the committee members and to Mr. Fry. And LRC immediately put that into computer form. On the 21st of September, there was a commission hearing, a subcommittee hearing in Rapid City. I was not there. I was out of state at the time. But the major focus of that, again, was North Rapid. And the people were testifying. We didn't particularly care for the four districts that were presented. No objection to them. But we want a North Rapid district. And then on September 27th, I again testified to the subcommittee right before full committee hearing. And at that time, they went over five different plans. And to Representative Kirkaby's credit, he presented a plan that would divide North Rapid only into two districts instead of three. So a bit of an improvement. That was shot down 5-1. I then re-presented the very map that I had given all of them on the 13th of July. And they said, well, where are the rest of the district lines? And I said, I wasn't aware that as a public citizen, that was my obligation, but I'd be glad to do that. And then, to his credit, Senator Bradford said, would you take this to LRC and have the new district lines crunched? And, of course, it was about 7:45 at that time. Full committee went in at 8, and that time-wise, it wasn't possible. But again, to LRC's credit, within 3 days, they crunched this map. And I would maintain that this is a more contiguous map for all the districts of Rapid City than the one the subcommittee put forward and this committee has approved. So Senator Bradford, it's my understanding, will be bringing an amendment on the floor to consider this configuration. Now, I've gotten some feedback from some of the other senators and representatives in the Rapid City area, and they're saying, well, this would pit me against an incumbent. And I said, well, if you're concerned, crunch a census tract here or there to make it fit. But I would maintain this is a much fairer distribution for the city of Rapid City for all four districts, and for the first time ever, it would be fair to our poor white citizens, our Native Americans. This is the most Native American urban area in the state. It'd be about 25% Native, 6% Hispanic, and 65% white. Now, when I presented this way back in July, one of the senators who isn't here said, well, building a district based on race and class could be considered un-American. Well, I would suggest that racism, classism, gerrymandering is American as apple pie. That doesn't make any of them right. So rather than sticking our heads in the sand and just denying that there's any problems, we've had serious issues in Rapid City this summer. Tragic killing of two police, injuring of a third, and the young man who shot them purportedly said to his buddies, I'm going to commit suicide by cop. Well, anyone has any idea why that young man did that, but when a situation is so dire and is so continuously overlooked by the incumbency, I think it's time that we do the right thing. I would urge all of you to make this again a committee of the people, by the people, for the people. And please, please consider, get beyond partisanism, demonstrate some statesmanship, and be fair to all our citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just to remind everyone, we only have a limited amount of time, and so 2 minutes into it, everybody's given 3 minutes. 2 minutes into it, I'm going to show you the peace sign. That means you got 1 minute left because we got to keep on track here.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. That didn't count against my time, I hope. But thank you for the opportunity to be here and testify. I really think it's important. I want to step back for just a minute. I'm speaking only about the Rapid City conurbation area. I know there are issues and questions that are throughout the state. Everybody has, as they say, a dog in this fight. My particular dog is right up there on the screen. I live in Rapid City, have for the last 25 years since I emigrated from Sioux Falls, born and raised in South Dakota. The whole theory behind drawing district lines has to be to get people to represent people like them. I mean, I could pretend to speak for duck hunters, but I don't even like ducks. I'm not a duck hunter, but I am a Rapid City person, and I would like to see our districts drawn with some rational common sense. What is being proposed this year would once again divide the community of interest, North Rapid City, into four legislative districts, dividing up, diluting the effect of those people's votes. And I'm going to submit that that is drawing districts maybe for the wrong reason. Ladies and gentlemen, try to keep intact those communities of interest. That's the term of art, as I understand it, when we draw legislative district lines. If not to put similar people together in a legislative district, we might as well just elect them all at large. Thank you for your time.
Don't be shy, Bert. Welcome back.
Good morning to the redistricting committee, the chairs, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome the opportunity to come and address you this morning. I thank you for allowing us the time to do this. I realize your committee is stressed. You have time is short. And the reason I'm here is I'm a delegation of one, even though there are some more people from Brown County here. I'm representing the Brown County Commission this morning. The Brown County Commission passed a resolution of concern that their district, that Brown County would be potentially split into three districts. Now, the primary reason for that, of course, that I am here is, of course, financial. In order for us to create a third legislative district in Brown County, we figure it will cost at least $10,000. Now, that's, it's not a significant amount in the terms of the state budget, but in terms of the budget of the taxpayers of the county of Brown, it is a significant amount. Our plan is not a plan that you have not seen before. It's been widely reported in the legislative process in the redistricting committee. It was has been reported in the media as far as the state goes. I hope my voice is coming across okay. Yes. Is this better?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I know the previous speaker, there was a lot of feedback and so on, so I apologize for that. Okay. This proposal is a proposal which you have seen before. It was presented to the redistricting committee. It takes on new urgency, however, because the Brown County Commission was unable to have any input at the time. We have to have our agenda published several hours ahead of time, 24 hours ahead of time. The plan was submitted to the statewide media on a Friday afternoon. Okay, I'll be very quick. This plan, which will be announced on the House floor as Amendment 10010E, would put Brown County whole in the rural area. It would leave the established idea of the city, like Watertown, Brookings, Aberdeen, and a district unto its own. It makes McPherson County whole and does not infringe on anything that Spink County has already voiced their approval for. Thank you very much for your time. It will be introduced on the floor as 10010E. Thank you.
Next, please. By my calculation, we're going to be about 10 minutes long if we don't continue to move right along here.
Good morning, Chairman Olson, Chairman Rauschen, committee. I've got an amendment today. It's Amendment 1001FC. It does not impact my district. It impacts Brown County, and that's why I'm here today representing the interests of Brown County. What it does is it straightens the line out, and it keeps the city of Claremont in the area that they most closely associate with. They're more associated with Britton and Webster, and it keeps them in District 1 with where they naturally do business and have their friends and family. It makes District 1 more compact, and it's it basically what it does on the west side of Brown County, it moves District 2 further north, and on the east side of Brown County, it moves District 1 further south, so that straightens the line, and I think it just cleans up the map, makes District 1 more compact, and puts people in areas that they more closely associate with in terms of their shopping and friends, neighbors, and churches and school districts. So with that, I'll stand by.
Mr. Co-Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson. I'm from Aberdeen. I am rising in support of Amendment 1001FC, and it could be there is some other synergy and some other amendments that you might see out there, especially as they relate to Precincts 13 or 20 in Brown County. The headline that was not made in this entire process is that Aberdeen essentially got carved into three legislative districts. Our proposal here would attempt to put Aberdeen essentially back into two districts and to realign a district with a precinct from Aberdeen that has enormous economic synergy with Aberdeen, and that is Precinct 15 in Brown County. That essentially was a headline that was never made. One precinct in Aberdeen in the current plan really got orphaned to what we now know as District 2. And then another precinct, Precinct 15, got orphaned to the north in what we now know as District 1. If we were able to accomplish at least all or some of 1001FC, that would help align Aberdeen back in and the area that has as much economic synergy as any together with Aberdeen. With that, I would appreciate your consideration and thank you for your time today.
Senator Peters.
Thank you. Is there a map available? I saw the map up here, but do we have that in amendment format so we can see the numbers and the
It will be on,
will be on
yes,
the floor.
Yes, you'll
okay.
have a map
so
on the
floor. So we can't make notes on it now. Okay.
So. Next. Don't be shy. Representative Dennert, welcome.
Good morning, Paul Dennert, District 2 State Rep, co-chairs Roush and Olson, members of the committee. All through this process of redistricting, I've just maintained my silence through it all because as the maps were developed, I was personally involved and I just didn't feel the need to come forward. Today I'm going to come forward and just speak very briefly. I guess just the previous testimony was news to me. I don't even know where I'm at on that map, the way that the lines are. I think I know where I'm still at. But let me step back to former Representative Elliott's comments. As I looked at Brown County and been a member of the legislature a lot of years, when I started in the legislature, I lived in a District 2, and at that time, District 2 consisted of part of Marshall County. And in my first campaign, I went over to Britton, and they says, why are you running? We wanted to vote for Paul Simmons, and they couldn't at that time. And now I think the reversal has happened. I live at District 1 now, I guess, so that's how time evolves. But in regards to former Representative Elliott's comments, I sit here and think that Brown County will be the only county that's, you know, really a district and a half that's divided into three districts under the current proposal. I know you took into consideration Day County's amendment during the whole process, kept them whole. You're considering Bonholm, keeping them whole. And Brown, I know, can't be kept whole. But does it need to be divided into three districts? And that's why I would kind of favor the proposal by Mr. Elliott. I guess the other question I'd have of the committee, and I do not know how Aberdeen is divided in the last proposal that was offered, but many years ago when I first started in the legislature, Aberdeen told me they wanted to be in two districts somewhat equally divided. 10 years ago, on redistricting day, Aberdeen was kept into two districts somewhat equally divided, but let's just say a third and two-thirds. If you do nothing, I think basically Aberdeen's in one district, and that's a philosophy I've never heard, and nobody ever approached me about Aberdeen being in one district, so I did not know where that came from, and don't know if the committee recommended or it came from Aberdeen, but I have not found anybody to step forward. So in your deliberations today, I would urge you to try to consider keeping Aberdeen and just or Brown County, Aberdeen in two districts. I know it could affect some people politically, their political future, but I really think Aberdeen split into three, or I keep saying Aberdeen, Brown County and part of Aberdeen into three districts is not the right way to go. So with that, I'll close, and I wished maybe at some time I'd get a couple questions answered, but I do not expect them today, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Please step forward. If you're waiting for the opportunity to be the last one, you might miss it. Representative Tolson, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, is this on?
Good morning. That better?
Yep.
It's a great morning to be here. I want to thank you for all the work you've did up to this point.
You can push the mic back just to...
And is that better? Thank you. And I'm here representing District 6. My name is Representative Bert Tolson. I am in favor of... In my area, the way you redistricted, I am in favor of what you have did. It's like this. You have a balloon. It's so big, you had to fill a balloon with the people. You start pushing that balloon, it's going to affect other parts of that balloon. I feel you've done a good job in my area. I'm not talking about the other areas. I'm talking about my area, which is, would be the new District 2. So I want to thank you. And please consider my comments.
Thank you. Further remarks? Please.
Good morning, members of the committee. Excuse me. How quickly we ex-legislators lose our voices. Let me get a piece of gum here. Probably some of you are thinking I lost my voice because I've spoken to this committee far too often. In spite of the... I'm Bill Thompson, former legislator, now here as a citizen, and... In spite of all the improvements that I've seen this year in the redistricting, I'm afraid the headline after the last meeting was SOS, the same old story. The map is drawn by the same old guy with the same results. Its political outcomes purpose is to help as many Republican incumbents as possible and to eliminate as many Democratic incumbents as possible. In the Argus Leader on Saturday, Representative Roush said that the committee decided on the new boundaries because they made sense. At the last meeting, I requested that the committee reveal who drew the map and tell us how the map was drawn and what were the criteria, but those requests were not addressed. Yes, I'm sure you can say that the map makes sense, but in terms of what? And particularly in terms of the outcomes, how does this make sense? I think the best test would be to take that to a high school government class. And if those students had the full story, would they say that this map makes sense? And to let all of you know once again that I am imposing incumbents, not just Republicans, in the role of redistricting, I must take issue with Representative Hargan's comment in the same article when he said, it's politics and that's how we play it. I consider that comment a cynical statement, for politics should not be the status quo, but the best it can be, and it certainly can be made better when it comes to redistricting. I'd like to deal with some points made at the last meeting. One of you said that in response to the Democrats' concern that there would be potentially two primaries for Democratic incumbents, that there would be five with Republicans. That argument has weight only if you said there were going to be eight primaries for Republicans, because the ratio of Democrats to Republicans in the legislature is 1-4. We also keep hearing that every time we do redistricting, that the Democrats gain seats. That is based upon the logic that Democrats gain seats because of redistricting. It's more likely that the Democrats gain seats in spite of redistricting. If there had not been redistricting that year, the Democrats would have gained even more seats. And I must talk to you about District 13 again, where I live. For at least the second time in a row, District 13 is being gerrymandered to make it safer for Republicans. 1,400 votes difference last time, 2,200 votes this time. And to do this, the line now is pushed down in past the county line, picking up four heavily Republican precincts. The discussion at one of the first redistricting meetings was that it was the intent of the committee to keep districts the same as much as possible and to keep counties whole. That seems to be the case for Republican districts, but not for certain Democratic districts. Politics is called a contact sport, but that is not the case when it comes to redistricting. The main political outcomes goal of redistricting seems to be to eliminate as much competition as possible. Where are the glory, honor, and prestige of beating a wounded opponent? Shouldn't you as an incumbent be able to defend your record and run an effective campaign, even if you had to run head-to-head in single-member House districts? If the answer is no, if the answer is based on fear of losing, then you shouldn't be in the legislature. The legislature is no place for cowards. After the last meeting, I asked a former Republican legislator, how many Republicans legislators do you need?
You would finish up your 4 minutes already.
My time's up already?
Yes.
All right. Let me skip to my concluding comment.
Please.
Then. When redistricting finally gets down to political outcomes, the intent should not be the weakening of those across the aisle. They are not the enemy. They are the opponents. They are not evil spirits to be exercised. They are your fellow citizens also wanting to make South Dakota even better. They represent a significant portion of the residents of this state, and those residents and all of the residents of the state deserve the best representation possible. Do what is best for the citizens. You still have a chance. Take advantage of it. We citizens are watching, and we want nothing more than to be proud of our legislators for looking after our interests rather than your own.
Thank you. Next. Quickly, please, if you're going to. We have 9 minutes left on our committee hearing. So how many wish to still speak? One additional? Okay, thank you. Senator?
Thank you. Senator Jim Hunstad, current District 2. I was questioning whether I was going to say anything or not. I signed up to say something, and you always wonder if you don't just waste your breath. But it occurs to me one of the things that we don't talk about is that we redistrict for the people of South Dakota. We try to redistrict in such a way that those folks have a representation that probably they know, someone that's a neighbor of theirs, someone that understands their predicament and so forth. And I think about your proposal for District 2, my district, and the way it is. I'm going to take a real issue with you. The issue deals with, I'm talking with some fire department people about how they can get on somehow on the state health system. They risk their lives and their volunteers, and they do what they want. So I'm going to have you take a little trip with me as I leave Columbia, South Dakota, in District 2. And I travel, I'm going to go to S-Line and talk with them next, and so I want you to just travel with me in your mind. I travel south out of Columbia about 9 miles, and at that point I cross out of District 2 into District 3, which is the city of Aberdeen, and 3 miles later I come to Highway 12. I take a left on Highway 12. I'm going to take that because I can go 70 miles an hour on that highway. And I travel cross District 3 for about 7 miles, and I cross back into District 2, and I continue along Highway 12 towards Webster, and I cross into District 1. At Webster, I turn south on Highway 25, and I travel down Highway 25, and I get back into District 2 again, which is pretty good because I'm going in the right direction. Turn left onto Highway 20, which travels on into Watertown, but goes kitty corner so I can save a few miles. And I traveled into District 4, then I traveled into District 5, then I get on Highway 81 and I travel south towards S-Line, and I eventually travel back into District 2 again. That was just me, but it could as well be someone who lives down there who's trying to just get to Columbia. Are the representatives in that district going to have any relationship to anybody in their district? And I challenge you that it isn't true. It isn't a compact district in any way, shape, or form. It's stretched out. In fact, if you look at District 1 and District 2, it's like two arms that surround three other districts in between them. I don't know which proposal that I would go for, but I cannot believe that we would take District 2 and do that thing to it and say that in some way, we're making it better for the people of South Dakota, the citizens, who only ask to be represented here in Pierre by somebody who understands them. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Ann Thompson. I am a member of League of Women Voters of Sioux Falls and therefore South Dakota, and lobby for League of Women Voters South Dakota on this issue. I'd like to talk about the future. There are three principles that the League primarily supports for redistricting. They are citizen involvement and information, and League is all about education. And while you did a pretty good job, the committee, on the issue of getting the information out, it could have been much, much, much better. I want to recommend that for the next process that there be some research done by the legislature on the principles of redistricting. And I understand that you have a research council, but there are some principles out there. The Brennan Center for Justice has put out a very good study this time. I don't know that any of you have looked at it. League of Women Voters was involved in that. I would encourage you to do more publicity. My goodness, if the state of South Dakota can publicize gambling and hunting and all those things, surely there can be more publicity about this process, more education to get citizen involvement. There was never a timeline that was consistent. It was always, you know, just what happens next was at the previous meeting. Not good. Parameters were not set out at the beginning, and I understand your concerns about the Voting Rights Act, but nonetheless, I think parameters would have helped us all. I believe this is, you know, you're running out of time for testimony on the whole map. That could have been changed. I understand that this is the first time there's not been a committee as a whole meet so that all the legislators could hear all the testimony. but this is a pretty short time for public testimony on the whole map. The second principle is competitiveness. None of us likes the idea of a one-party state. I lived through the 50s, and that was one of the reasons we pounded our fists and looked at the communist countries and said, one-party state, not good. We need competitive districts in this state. And the third one is the respect of county lines, school district lines, and all those things. And I see a number of exceptions that were made. In other words, I see inconsistency. In one place, there was a great effort to respect those kinds of lines. In other places, they were not. And so those are the things that I would recommend that you look at for the next redistricting process, and would strongly encourage the legislature to consider some changes in the process between now and the next time redistricting is done. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. 1 minute. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you. I just want to real quickly say thank you. Anytime you take 850,000 people and divide it by 35, you're not going to make everybody happy. And I could look at my district and I'd say, shucks, I can make it easier for me. But golly bum, then what's it do to the others? So I'm going to look at all the amendments like everyone else will. But I just want to say thank you, because it is difficult to take 850,000 people that live in different counties and want to keep everything together, and people like their districts and don't want to move much, and make it so that everyone's happy. So you've had a long process, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Well, that brings us to 9:30. I want to thank everybody for making the effort to come today to have their last opportunity to express their issues on the map. I want to very much thank the committee for the many hours and many meetings. Some were calculated up over 1,000 hours and 17 different meetings that we've had this summer, working to get to this point where we will now take the bill up in session, handle amendments, and have those discussions, and send a final product down to the governor for his signature. So I want to thank the committee very much for all their time and effort, for the hundreds of maps we've looked at, for all the painstaking number counting of bodies in the different precincts and districts. So thank you very much. Co-chair, any final words? Anything else from the committee? Any questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Roden.
Would you give me the personal privilege to make a couple comments before we close?
Please.
Well, just from a personal perspective, I wanted, and as a member of this committee, I wanted to express my gratitude to both you and Senator, your co-chair. And, you know, from my perspective, I know we've heard some comments even today from people that we've heard from a number of times during our 17, 18, 19 meetings. And I believe a lot of that's just political posturing, and we've grown to expect that. But from a process standpoint, I have never been involved in a committee that has sought and solicited and accepted more public testimony and public input and acted on that input. And I think it's a credit to you and the way that you ran this committee. And I want to thank you as a member of this committee for the way you've handled this whole process.
Thank you, Senator. Hearing no further remarks from the committee, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Peters, second by Brown. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.